Our first reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, if you will, from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it in your pew Bible, which should be in front of you on page 77. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said to him, to God, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," God said, "you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Second reading comes this morning from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 191 of the New Testament. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our third Bible lesson comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 23. One thing you may have noticed in recent weeks, Paya and I have been looking for images for the front of the bulletin that draw your attention to some part of the scripture lesson. So I'll let you figure out where this one came from. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, whose head is this and whose title? They answered, the emperor's. Then he said to them, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. By the way, as far as we can tell, that is actually the coin of that time. That's Caesar on the coin. When you think about those lessons from all the scriptures, the three scriptures that we had today, you start seeing, either stated or implied, some pretty serious boundaries. Some distinctions made between us and them, between me and you. Think about that very first lesson from Exodus. There's a clear distinction between God and Moses. As you go to the New Testament, a distinction between the followers of Jesus Christ and the Gentiles, between Paul and the Thessalonians, between the empire of Caesar and the kingdom of God. We, in the 21st century, are also people who have a lot of business with barriers, with distinctions that we set, again, between us and them, between me and you. And if you need an example of that, just think about the last time you read the newspaper, or perhaps watched the news on TV or went on the internet. We're in an election season. There's all talk about independents or Democrats or Republicans. We hear an awful lot from the politician mouths about Main Street and Wall Street. We hear a lot about distinctions between the first world and the third world. There's all sorts of controversy surrounding the boundary between the United States and Mexico about illegal immigrants versus citizens. There's war and conflict. We talk about personal space. We discuss languages and cultures. We are a people of boundaries, of barriers. And we need to understand this. But you know, a boundary exists where there is a relationship, where there's distinctions between culture and language and worldview. And these relationships are critically important into all our lives, because as Christian people, our lives are molded because we are in relationship. We are in relationship with God. That is the primary one. But I think you can think of three kinds of relationships that will encompass all of human existence. First, obviously, we're in relationship with God. We're also in relationship with God's creation. And finally, on a daily basis, we are in relationship with God's people. But soon after we discover this, after we think about these barriers, these relationships, we recognize that because of our knowing Jesus Christ, God has radically redefined these boundaries. God has very drastically redefined our relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with God's creation, and relationship with God's people. Let us think about these things together. In that first reading from Exodus, we have Moses asking God for some kind of sign, some kind of symbol that in fact they are in relationship. And there is a huge barrier between God and Moses. Moses says, show me your glory. And God says, I'd like to, but if I did, you'd die. You can't look at my face and live. So God says, I'll make you a deal. I will have my glory pass by. I will put you in a cleft, in a crevasse, in a rock. I'll put my hand over that as I go by, and then when I go past, you can look and you'll see my back, and you won't perish. There is obviously a huge, it's a metaphorical story, but a huge barrier between God and Moses. But then if you start thinking about it, there is that foundational relationship between God and people. God created human beings. God is so completely love that God wanted to share that love with human creatures. And God made us in God's image. So barriers, but also a foundational relationship. But things got changed around. That relationship, those boundaries were completely redefined. Think about how God related to people in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible. God only spoke to people if you were a prophet or a judge or a king. But that as time goes on, those barriers were shifted. As we look into the New Testament, God came to earth as Jesus Christ, and God spoke to all people. Everyone who had interaction with Jesus had relationship with God. And these days, God speaks to everyone through God's Holy Spirit. And there was a similar evolution, there was a similar transformation, there was a similar redefinition in this barrier relationship dichotomy in the church. Think about it, for hundreds of years, if you came to church, you weren't reading the Bible directly. You weren't even speaking to God directly. You spoke to the priest who stated your case to God. Because most of us were illiterate at that time, the priest read to you Holy Scripture. The priest interpreted God's word to you. The priest took you into the dark room and forgave your sin. But then there was the Protestant Revolution, if you will, and the Protestants said, it doesn't work that way. With the advent of higher rates of literacy, with the printing press, the Bible was literally in the hands and in the minds of people. And the Protestants said, we don't need an intermediary in our relationship to God. They said that among other things. So now, some of those barriers are broken down, and we pray directly, not through saints, but directly to God. We're also in relationship to God's creation. Think about Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This relationship with the creation has gone back and forth over time. But think about the people of the Hebrew Bible. They had a close connection with the water and the air and the land and all of the creatures that God made metaphorically in the book of Genesis. But things have changed. In this country, the Aboriginal peoples, the Native Americans, had that same close relationship to the land, to the resources. But for modern folks, when we read Genesis, a lot of people read in that the idea that we ought to dominate and subdue the creatures and the creation that God made. But I think if you read a little more closely, you recognize that what God meant is that we are to be wise stewards of all the gifts that God has given us. A creation ethic for Christians completely redefines our relationship to the world. God gave all of these gifts not to be subdued or dominated, but rather that we would watch over the plants and the animals. God made us a little lower than angels, it says in scriptures, but it also says that God made us one of all the good creatures that God made. Every plant, every animal has its own niche in the gorgeous ecology of God's world. Yes, we're different from the birds and the bees and the bears, and yet God loves all creatures. So perhaps we need to redefine how we interact with animals, with plants, with the air we breathe, with the resources that we use. Maybe we ought to think twice about filling the gas tank, as that oil is a gift from God as well. We're also on a daily basis in relationship with all of God's people. Now again, if you go back to the Hebrew Bible, There's talk about the chosen people. Moses carried the Israelites through that promise to the promised land, right up to the shores of the Jordan, never made it himself. But when you read the Bible, most Christians over millennia have read that to mean, oh yes, we are the chosen people, and everybody else is them, the Gentiles, if you will. But think about that over centuries. Think about the distortion of that relationship, the heightening of those barriers. Think about how much murder and mayhem and horrible acts have been done by one people's to another in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus completely redefined that relationship. Jesus said, barriers have no place. Jesus did make a distinction. Jesus reminded us that we are to offer to the human rulers those things that are human. We pay to Caesar the coin that has Caesar's image on it, and yet we pay to God those things which are God's. A complete separation, an important distinction. But Jesus also said, the other barriers have no place. Jesus would sit down at table with prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors. My goodness, Jesus would probably sit down to table with me and you. And Jesus in his heart had a special place for the least, the last, the lost, the disenfranchised of our society, the folks who walk for their water and for their food, the folks for whom we will walk this afternoon. And Jesus tells us very clearly we need to break down those barriers. We need to redefine those relationships. We need to have the love which Jesus showed to all people, regardless of those barriers. We are Christian people called out by God into mission to help God's people. We find ourselves in relationship with God. We should recognize in the beauty of our surroundings here that we are in relationship to God's creation. And in the good feelings that you get when you rise up and shake someone's hand, we are in true relationship with God's people. God has called us to this special task. We were created in God's image, and we are to follow Jesus Christ in Jesus' action, in Jesus' love. God tells us to love as Jesus loved. To love God. To love God's creation. And to love God's people. And I pray that this is what we will do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.